You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. I'm sure you're in great anticipation for tonight's entertainment on CNN. That's the debates, or the debate, of the Republican candidates for president. I've been doing some thinking, reflecting on what's the problem. And I've concluded a long time ago, we have really a two-party system that has become, over time, a tyranny. They are both big government parties. You have the illusion of choice every 2 years, every 4 years, to elect your representative, your senator, and this coming year, the next president of the United States. But then I thought back to what George Washington said in his farewell address. Now, they didn't have TV then or radio, and he didn't go to Congress to give his farewell address. But one of the key portions of that address dealt with political parties. And this was on September 17th, 1796, several hundred years ago. Here's what Washington said about political parties. Political parties are likely to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government. Ladies and gentlemen, that has happened a long time ago. Most of the politicians today that serve in our House and our Senate, as well as presidents, have been bought and paid for. Now, when I say that, I don't mean they have accepted money or bribes. That would be criminal activity, and why a few do that, the few that do mostly get caught. No, they're bought and paid for largely by campaign contributions from very wealthy individuals. That's why, for both under George Bush as well as Barack Obama, increasingly the concerns of the American people have been ignored. And that is a problem I have. I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat. There's no candidate that really is that attractive to me. Oh yes, I've told you in past shows, including yesterday, I do have a few favorites, but they're certainly not my first pick. I have said repeatedly, is this the best and the brightest? I don't think they are. They're articulate. That's the one attribute they seem to have in common. But the other attribute is they're already been paid for. They have positions that reflect the money they get from their donor class. Now, Donald Trump is a perfect example, if you will, of what I'm talking about. Prior to him getting in the race, he made it known that he had contributed over $300,000 to various campaigns. And I'm sure there are literally 1,000 more Donald Trumps. Many of them are billionaires. Some are only millionaires. But they gave money too, many of them to both parties. In this sense, then, the election is rigged. Yes, I have the right to go to the primary in Texas if you're registered and pick a Republican. Or if you're Democrat, you can pick a Democrat. But you're limited to two parties. I've said that nothing really is going to change much until we have competition in terms of political parties. And that's why more and more Americans are leaving both political parties, because they've woken up to that fact. Now, the elites do not want to tell you that. And when I say the elites, both the politicians and their mouthpieces on both news and entertainment type shows. Just before coming into the newsroom, I changed the channel from CNN that was obviously hyping the upcoming debate, and they have a countdown clock. And I turned it to Fox. And I believe the show is 5 at 5, something like that. And they had the comedian, and I don't even know his name. I don't pay much attention to the people on there. And he was talking about the candidates. But the problem I had, I don't have a choice. And tens of millions of Americans are saying the same thing. I don't have a choice here. No one really speaks for me. And it goes further. Although I have some favorites, I don't trust any of them. Because I know money, especially big money, is a great temptation. Now, there's some politicians that can resist it, but they quickly find out they're marginalized or demonized. For example, Ron Paul had a reputation that he couldn't be bought. I don't know if that's true or not. I suspect it is. But because of that, he never really took the big money. He tried once to leave the Republican Party and run for president as a libertarian. That went nowhere because the game is rigged. The two parties make it very, very difficult for any third party to get on the ballot. And the reason why I say we're not going to have any change is there's only a narrow range of people that you can vote for. I don't know of any classical liberal, someone that's really for limited government, that's going to be on that stage tonight. The closest is maybe Rand Paul, but I don't think so. His father was closer to a classical liberal than Rand Paul is. Rand Paul made a decision to run for president, and he was courted by and courted several people with a lot of money. One of them, for example, is the owner of Fox News and the Wall Street Journal, Rupert Murdoch. Now, I don't know to what extent and to how much, if any, that Rupert Murdoch has given to Rand Paul, but I'm sure it's influenced his opinions or positions, Rand Paul's positions on immigration. I get back to that because there are a couple of issues. Actually, there are about three or four that the American people are really concerned about. They do not like the way the direction this country is going in. People with a lot of money made Barack Obama president, and he has ruined this country. And many that gave the money regret it today. Now, they're not going to say it, but they do. See, it's hard for anybody to admit a mistake. That's human nature, and people do not like to admit, especially publicly, that they made a big mistake. Although many of them know they did and regret it, there's very little they can do about it but support another candidate, and they could make a mistake again. So what happened? Many of them got together, both in the Republican Party and Democratic Party, and decided who they wanted to be the next president. Many of them wanted Hillary Clinton, and she will be the candidate for the Democratic Party. Do you trust Hillary Clinton? I don't. I think she could be a worse disaster than Barack Obama, and that's saying a lot. Oh, you can surround the president with advisors to protect your interest, but you still get disasters. You're looking for a leader, and Hillary Clinton is not a leader. Far from it. She's bought and paid for, but she's not a leader. The same is true with the Republican Party. People with a lot of money got together, and their choice was Jeb Bush. I think both groups thought this was a slam dunk. But something happened. And what happened is the American people, they didn't like what they were saying, but they knew they had very limited options. Like I say, there's no candidate that I'm excited about. Doesn't mean I won't vote for the what's commonly called the least offensive. I'm really grasping for that phrase. It's in regard to evil. Ladies and gentlemen, good intentions are not enough. And it's hard to vote for someone that you don't trust. That's why I could never vote for Hillary Clinton. I could never really vote for Jeb Bush, or the so-called establishment candidates, Marco Rubio, Chris Christie, John Kasich. I'm sure many of these people are charming, gracious, good people, well-intentioned people. But good intentions are not enough. The American people are demanding results, and they're concerned about jobs or employment opportunities. And the fact that the United States economy is simply not growing anywhere near what it should be growing and has grown in the past. In other words, somewhere between 3 and 4% instead of staggering at 2% or less. So when you ask the American people what their concerns are, jobs and employment and the economy usually are numbers 1 and 2. Today, because of several terrorist attacks, one in Paris and then a week ago or so in San Bernardino, national security has come to the fore. And today I turned on the radio and heard that the Los Angeles school district was entirely shut down because of a email threat that they thought was credible. Supposedly New York City got the same threat but came to a different decision that it wasn't credible and opened. An email can shut down the second largest school district in the United States, with hundreds of thousands of students. It might have shut down the largest, New York City. A simple email that uses language that gives it credibility. That's disturbing. Would you like to be the person that has to make that decision? I wouldn't, not at all. How do you know? What if you, like New York City, did nothing and then something really happened that tens or hundreds or thousands of students lost their lives? I don't think you'd want that on your conscience, but these terrorists, whoever they are, think about how to make the email credible. So the second issue the American people are really concerned about now is security, our national defense or security, however, whatever phrase you like to use or to frame the issue. And supposedly tonight, national security or security will be one of the top issues that are discussed. Many people in the media, the political elitist establishment, went after Donald Trump last week because he wanted a temporary ban on Muslims entering the country. They tried to demonize him. What they were trying to really do, and they failed miserably at it, was to take Donald Trump out of the race. I'm glad they failed, and I think most of them look like damn fools. Now, I'm debating whether to say this, but I was curious. I don't read the student newspaper. I used to write for the paper, more or less had a column, but it was interfering with this radio show because anyone that's worked in a newspaper knows you have to fight to get your stories in, and political people have political views. I obviously have a point of view that disagrees with many of the young people today, the students that are here. It was only by accident that I really read this column and was even aware of it. Normally, I don't even pick up the paper or open it, but I was curious. And I read the editorial because there actually were two editorials. Who is the most dangerous person in the United States? One writer said Barack Obama. The other writer said Donald Trump. Now, I agree with the first writer that says Barack Obama. I think that's obviously true. And I know that writer's biases. I did not know the other writer's political affiliation view, and I'm not even sure now. And the reason I read it, or at least scanned it wasn't really worth reading, was when I'm preparing the show, I'm about 6 feet from a table where we have advisors to the paper. They're editors that read the various articles. And I heard one of the advisors that I have a lot of respect for questioning what the writer had said. And the person was comparing Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler. And the person was told to back it up or expand on what she was saying. Let's put it that way. She still said that. That shows ignorance of Adolf Hitler and a massive ignorance of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not head of the government. Adolf Hitler was elected by the people of Germany, whether you liked Adolf Hitler or not. They made a big mistake when they elected Adolf Hitler because he got rid of his opposition. The unions, the other political parties, went after the churches, And he wanted to kill the Jews and killed over 5 million. How in the name of common sense could you compare an individual that's wealthy and is mainly known for building buildings? He's a developer. Oh, yes, he's run casinos. He's made a lot of money. And you may like him, you may not like him. He has a big ego, but most successful people do. 2 shows ago, I compared Donald Trump to Winston Churchill. Why? Winston Churchill was more or less in the wilderness politically. He tried to warn the people of Great Britain and Europe of the threat that the Nazis or the Nationalist Socialist, the German Worker Party, of the threat, the military threat of Nazi Germany. He failed because at that time, the majority of both in the media and in the government didn't want to hear it. Were afraid of another world war because World War I killed over 10 million military personnel and roughly another 10 million civilians, mainly just dying of various diseases. And Winston Churchill knew he had failed. Oh yeah, eventually they turned to him. They needed a wartime prime minister and they picked well. You see, Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party could have been stopped a lot earlier. And we might have even avoided World War II and the Holocaust had people listened to Winston Churchill several years earlier, and as a result of that, built up their military defenses and stood up to Adolf Hitler. But that didn't happen, and it was very much a close call that Nazi Germany didn't win, and really was only largely because of the help from the United States that Hitler was ultimately defeated. We provided the arms, the armaments, the food to not only the United Kingdom, Great Britain, but also to the Soviet Union. What did Donald Trump do? He suggested, he can't do it, he suggested that we temporarily ban Muslims from this country until our Congress figures out what's going wrong. Why is the Islamic State and its supporters attacking in Europe and in the United States? Oh, there's a big problem, folks. Radical Islam is a great threat, probably the number one threat to this country today. You don't hear that on the media. They were too busy trying to take out Donald Trump. They didn't want to discuss the fact that radical Islam is a threat. They didn't want to go there at all. Why? The president can't even say the words together. And that's the problem. Just like we had the appeasers in Europe and Great Britain that ultimately led to the initial victories of the Nazis, we have the appeasers in this United States government today, led by Barack Obama, that think Islam is the religion of peace, just like George Bush did. Political correctness is the attempt by one group to shut up another group. That's dangerous, folks. You do need to hear other opposing opinions and viewpoints. But are we? Let's get back to the debate. Most of those people on the stage are career politicians. They're governors or former governors, senators. One's a doctor. Actually, 2 are a doctor, but one of the doctors is a senator. That's Rand Paul. And 2 business people, namely Donald Trump and Carly Fiorina. I've listened to all of them. And some have rather impressive resumes, actually accomplishments. But the question I asked, is this the best group of people that we can find to become our next president, given the situation we face of a stagnating economy, massive deficits, and a massive national debt, and the fact that the American people, by overwhelming majorities, feel that we're going in the wrong direction? They're concerned about jobs, employment, the economy, and their own safety and security. Are these the best group of people from both parties? I don't think they are. But here's the problem. The very best and brightest simply won't go into politics. They don't want any part of it. They don't want any part of what the media does to people, demonize them, lies about them. Donald Trump is learning big time about the media in this country that's largely bought by who? The very wealthy, who own it. Employees do the bidding of their owners and the executives of those corporations. Whether it's Fox News, CBS, ABC, NBC, your major print media, the newspapers, the New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, Los Angeles Times. So when the orders go out to take out Trump, they try to take him out. Now, many don't even need the orders. They know what the boss thinks, and they agree with him. I've had to listen to him on radio. Some people I respect until they get on certain issues. And one is open borders, and the other is simply not telling the American people the truth about radical Islam. I consider it the number one threat facing this country. Yet you would be hard-pressed to learn anything about it listening to the nightly news. Oh, you'll hear about them when they kill a lot of people. Now, why do they stay away from it? There are a lot of reasons. Because then you have to ask rather tough questions that a lot of people don't want to be exposed. What is the national interest in the Middle East? Why do the Muslims hate us? There's no secret. After World War II, the State Department, as well as others in the United States government, knew that the big prize of the Middle East was oil and, to a lesser extent, natural gas. It was oil, folks. And Saudi Arabia, Iraq, and Iran, both then and now, are sitting on large reserves. If you add those three countries' reserves, over half the reserves of oil are in those countries. That's the only reason we care one iota about what's happening in the Middle East. If those countries did not have those natural resources, they couldn't get the time of day from us. It's all about the control of those resources and the fact that we have very large corporations that provide the technology, the services to explore for it, as well as build the refineries, the infrastructure, the pipelines that you need in producing and getting that oil to market. And because of that, the United States will intervene in those countries, whether it's under a Republican or Democratic president. Does the United States today need that oil? Really, the answer to that question is no. Today, the United States is producing close to 10 million barrels of oil a day. And we're sitting on reserves of natural gas that'll last for several hundred years. And we have not really extensively developed federal lands, that many states are over a third of the land is owned by the federal government. You see, what has happened so far is it's private land that has resulted in the last few years of a great increase in the production of both oil and natural gas. That's why oil today, the price has gone down, down, and down. It's supply and demand with one qualification. There's a lot of speculation in the futures market, but even the future market has to bow to the fact that the United States has discovered a lot of oil and natural gas. That's why the Saudis would like to cut back. That's why OPEC would like to cut back. They have a problem. These countries need the revenue. They need to stay in power, and they are very dependent on revenue from that oil, as is Russia. Putin needs to stay in power, too, and he's going to be hard-pressed if oil remains under $40. Now, I'm not going to get, I have no opinion whether it's going up or down, but I don't think it's going back to $150 a barrel. And many of these countries need, especially Russia, but other countries, they're expensive producers, so they need a much higher price, at least double, if not triple, the current price. It's all about wealth and power. That's why I don't have a choice. The people that have the wealth and have the power are limiting my choice. Actually, the choice is almost as limited when I go to a grocery store and they ask, plastic or paper? I always say paper, double paper. Now, I have another choice. I could bring a bag in, but I don't. Today, you have a choice, Democrat or Republican. I don't trust Hillary Clinton. I think she's an incompetent and a liar, and I think she would be just as bad as Barack Obama. So forget about that choice. Many people disagree. Many people with a lot of money are putting a lot of money into her campaign. They want her to win. I don't. The same people that put Barack Obama in office are trying to put Hillary Clinton in office. They're worried about her, though. Don't get the impression that she's inevitable, because she's not. Then I look at the Republicans. Many of them are, like I said, career politicians. Many of them are also attorneys or lawyers. And because of that, many of them know that if they are to have a long career, they need campaign contributions. I didn't have time to look it up, but I will, because it's related to another question. Let's say you were Donald Trump times 10 in terms of wealth. In other words, you're in the same league, if not more wealthier than Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. Could you buy the United States government? Let me put that question out. I'll probably be a little low, but not out of the ballpark. For a congressional election, you probably need $1 million. In some districts, maybe $2 million. Especially if this is a new or unknown candidate. Let's go high. Let's say it's $2 million. And for the House, you would like to have a lock. So you want to get elected 250 representatives. You don't need to control all 435. But you want to make sure whatever you want gets done, passed, whether it's a tax law, a regulation, a subsidy, whatever. So you want 250 seats. You want to control them. You want to buy them and make sure they stay bought. Well, 250 times 2 million is 500 million. There are people that make $500 million every year. That's doable. Now let's talk to the Senate. Let's say you want 70 senators in your pocket. And let's say, remember, they run every 6 years, not every two. And I need to stipulate that. Let's use a round number of about $5 million. Some states it's going to be a lot more, and other states it's going to be a lot less. So 5 million times 70 is 350 million. So we're up to $850 million. And you do not like either the Democrats or the Republican Party. You can't stand them. In other words, you're with the 40 to 50% of the American people that have left both parties. You figure that there's no point trying to compete with them by reforming either the Democrat or Republican Party. It's a waste of time. You want your party to be in control. So you're going to need a party organization. Let's say roughly, I like to go higher, but I want a round number here, about $150 million a year. In round numbers, that's $1 billion, which is $1,000 million. People have trouble with billions, millions. 1 billion is 1,000 million. So if you want to buy the United States government, I'll address the presidency in a minute, and have your own political party. And it's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight, but it could if you have a lot of, if money is not an object. That's why I'm going through this exercise. You're going to need round numbers, $1 billion a year. $1,000 million a year. Now, you expect a payoff here. That's a lot of money, but not if you expect big payoffs. And you don't want a president to veto whatever you pass. So you need to make sure you buy the presidency. And ideally, it's this your new party. Call it the rich man's party. Now, there are estimates as how much that would cost. I'm going to use another round number, $1 billion. So for the grand total of $2 billion, and I'm going to say a year, even though the elections are every 2 years for congressmen, 4 years for president, and only a third of the senators run. But you need money to run the party, and most of that money is going to be used to put together very, very, very good campaign ads that you will run on radio and television, as well as print media. So if you want to buy the United States government and you're very, very rich, it would take one individual putting out, and this is the high number, $2 billion a year, or $2,000 million. Now, it doesn't have to be one individual, and that's the key point here. Wealthy people typically have very wealthy friends. They don't hang around with poor folks. They don't really hang around with their employees either. They do what they want when they want, and their biggest constraint is time. So they get a group together, let's say 100 people that are all part of the billionaire club. And depending on their net worth, they contribute towards the rich party. And we're going to keep it simple. RP, the rich party, RP. That's doable, folks. That spreads the cost amongst 100 people. I went through this exercise for a reason. If you don't like the two-party tyranny that we have, we're going to need money of that magnitude and people with that money to start their own party. Now, what's the catch? And there's a big catch. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we have today. And the American people don't like it. There's rebellion going on. There's dissent going on. People are pushing back. The American people are angry. They're not happy. They resent what's going on. They know they're being pushed around. They know they're being ignored. They know they're being lied to. They want a choice, not a dictator. You see, there are many people that have wealth and power in the United States, and they compete with each another. But they also cooperate with each another. But the time is quickly coming when we look at the fact that both parties have been totally corrupted, that we need very much a new political party. And that's going to require money. It's going to require people. It's going to require people with a vision and leadership. The problem is this new party has to have integrity. It has to have principles. It truly needs to support and address the concerns, the needs, the wants of the American people. Otherwise, it's not going to go anywhere, and it would be a waste of time to do it. And that's a big problem. But that's what it's going to take. Some people have time. Some people have money. Some people have various skill sets. If you're not happy with the political scene that we have today, or obscenity that we have today, you're not going to defeat either the Republican Party or the Democratic Party without having another party. And what did Washington say about political parties? Let me repeat it. Political parties are likely to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government. I don't know what this third party's name will be. I don't know when it will come into existence. And I don't know if it can truly be a principled party where the people running it have integrity. That's what's needed. That's a very, very tall order. Because what are you up against? Not only the wealth and the power behind both the Democrat and the Republican Party, but also the wealth and the power that controls the media in this country, the television networks, the newspapers, the radios, but also the colleges. That's a tall order. So you can rack your brain as to what needs to be done and have outstanding ideas. I do. I have several that I'm convinced if we had a party and a president and its representatives and senators got behind it, could turn the United States of America around rather quickly. But I see no hope, no change, as long as we have the tyranny of the two-party system. Nothing really seems to change that's fundamentally important. Oh, the faces change, and the narratives change, but the results don't seem to change. Whether you like it or not, this country has become a warfare and welfare state, and that's not going to change overnight. It's taken over 100 years to get from where we were with rather limited government. And what I mean by that, around the year 1900, 115 years ago, the size of the government at all levels was, in terms of the gross national product, was about 10% of the national product. Today, it's about 35%. In other words, both at the local, city, county, state, and federal, government has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and as government has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, what has happened? We've had corruption. It's not an accident that we're in debt, both on the federal level as well as the state and local levels. Money attracts corrupt people, criminals, and that's what we have. We have a corrupt criminal class. So today's debate in Las Vegas, I'm viewing it as entertainment. Probably not even very good entertainment. If you have another choice, watch a sporting event. Watch a movie. Take your wife to dinner. Don't be the sucker for, which will it be, Democrat or Republican? Paper or plastic? I think Donald Trump, if you listen to the past shows, is going to get the nomination. And that is panicking senators and representatives of the Republican Party, because they rely on campaign contributions, and this was not supposed to happen. The group that contributed over $100 million to Jeb Bush are now very much disappointed. Jeb Bush is not going to go anywhere. Oh, he'll try to use the money with attack ads. But I listened to, he made some comment today. Well, if Trump gets the nomination, Hillary Clinton is going to win. I'm paraphrasing. Excuse me, Mr. Bush. You're at what? 5%? 4%? You can't even beat Donald Trump. How in God's name are you going to defeat Hillary Clinton? Excuse me. American people see through you. They don't want a Bush and they don't want a Clinton. Anybody but a Clinton and a Bush. Trump is, unfortunately, the American people's last best hope. He's not the best and brightest, but he can and has attracted the American people to his cause for one reason. They no longer trust career politicians, the attorneys of both parties, that all they want is more and more government, more and more welfare, more and more warfare. And the American people have said no, no, no. This does not end well. Get the fiscal, the finances of the United States government in order. It's going to take decades, folks. It's so screwed up by the so-called elite in Washington. Donald Trump really hit it on the nail and summarized it. We are led by very, very stupid people. Now, I wouldn't have said it that way, but it does communicate a message. If these people are so bright and wise and know best for the American people, why are we in the mess that we are today? Explain that to me. You couldn't figure out that Barack Obama was going to destroy this country? Give me a break. I saw it coming a mile off because I did my homework. And the same will be repeated if Hillary Clinton is elected. You know best for the American people? Look at the losers, the stupid people that you put in office. Now, I was listening to some talk show many weeks ago, and unfortunately, I didn't get the name. But he was interviewing, I believe, a congressman, and the radio talk show host asked him, "What really is the one thing that surprised you when you got to Washington, D.C.? And I'm going to try to track this down. You know what he said? "I can't believe that there's so many stupid people here." Donald Trump is right. I wouldn't use the word stupid. I would use the word corrupt. Donald Trump understands that. He's one of the very wealthy that does it. Why? Because politicians call him up and ask for money. "Will you contribute to my campaign, Mr. Trump?" "Oh, sure. How much do you need?" $10,000, fine. Now, I don't trust any of the candidates, and that includes Mr. Trump. I'm not endorsing anyone. I don't have a candidate in this race. None of them reflect my political philosophy at all. Most of these politicians are bought and paid for. They're career politicians. Their main concern is getting reelected. And I'm not that impressed with their intelligence. Oh, they can talk and talk and talk. But talk is cheap. Good intentions are not enough. Results count, and they're not delivering the results that the American people demand. There's absolutely no reason that the United States economy should not be growing at 4 or even 5% every year. We should have a booming economy, and not for 1 year or one quarter, but for years. Government is huge, big, for one reason. We have corruption at all levels of government, but mainly in the, well, through all levels. I won't say which is worse. And where you have big government, you have big corruption. If you don't like corrupt politicians, limit the government. The American people have no one to blame but themselves. So if you want to change it, don't pin your hopes on either the Democrats or the Republicans, because they're both bad. They don't deliver results that you want and need. They deliver results whoever bought and paid for. So there's no hope, no change until the system is fundamentally changed. I'm not for trying to reform the Republican Party. They don't want conservatives. They don't want libertarians. They don't want people that support a constitutional representative republic. They like the game the way it's played today, and they're not going to change the rules for you or me, no matter how much we scream and holler. You're going to need to get organized. You're going to need to get a few very wealthy people to contribute to a new and viable party, not to go along with the Republican or Democratic Party, but to replace both of them. So enjoy tonight's entertainment. I really don't care who wins. Oh yeah, I still have Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, and Ben Carson on my favorite list. But like I said last show, let's say one of them actually gets the nomination and wins. Today it looks like Trump. It could be Cruz. Who knows? Do you really think you're going to see fundamental change? I don't. I'm not optimistic because most of them are bought and paid for, and I don't know what Donald Trump is going to do. With that, on a somewhat optimistic note, I'll play America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.